Let's just give him a hand clap of praise right now. Jesus, I worship you. I thank you, Jesus. What an awesome God we serve. I feel, I have a word that I feel like God's given me, but I do want to just quickly say what I feel like, even in this service, what came to me was there's the last several days, I feel like, or a handful of days, that I feel like the devil has been at work, and I believe all of us probably in this place have felt that there has been an opposition that has tried to hinder and come against, I believe, the church. I believe us individually, personally, and I know even myself, I've experienced it, and that's why when we come into service this morning, something changes when we get into the presence of God. This is truly the only place where something can be changed in an instant when the presence of God comes in. And when I say this place, I'm not talking about the physical building, but I'm talking about that place that we get to where everything gets shut out, everything gets put aside, and now it becomes a place of just, God, I need you. God, we have to have a move of you. God, we're here to praise you. When we get to that place could be in our home, that place could be wherever, but even specifically in the sanctuary, God shows up and God does something that only he can do. And what came to me was in Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, I don't have it on the screen, but this is David. And we know that David, if you have studied his life very much at all, it was not a just smooth road for David. It was an up and down. It was a roller coaster. It was a time of on the mountain and in the caves. It was kill the giant and run for your life. It was see prosperity in the kingdom and then your own family turn against you. David's life was very up and down. And that's probably why many of us relate to him so well, because out of so many of the Bible characters, I believe many of the Bible characters had that up and down and that whatever, but David's is so recorded that we can relate to being on top of the mountain and then relate to being down in the valley. But what's interesting is what came to me while I was sitting there, Psalm 16:11, it says, that David wrote, thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. David had gotten to a point where he realized that if I can just get in his presence, if I can just get in his presence, if I can just get in his presence, there's joy. David, if you study it out, David did not have a temple he was able to go to in his early days. In fact, he wanted to build God a house and a temple, and God said, no, it's going to be your son. So David did not have the opportunities to come by the church every day for prayer, so to speak. David did not have the opportunity to come every Sunday into a place like we do. But David had learned that if I can just get in his presence, when life hits me upside the head, whenever the devil has messed everything up, whenever my life is falling apart, if I can get to a place where I can just get in his presence, there's fullness of joy. There's strength in his presence. And I also, it's not my message. To my message, I don't know. This is what I feel, and so I'm going to go with it. But in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was teaching, or he had just healed the demoniac, and Jesus, the Bible says, was in verse 21, was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, and there was many people gathered unto him. He was nigh unto the sea. And while Jesus is talking to all the people, there came a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. The Bible says that Jesus had been teaching, and all of a sudden Jesus went with this man Jairus to go to his house to heal his daughter. And many people followed and thronged around him. But while Jesus was on the way, while Jesus is on the way to go do a miracle for this man Jairus, and just put yourself in his shoes for a minute, this man is gotta have knots in his stomach. He's thinking, oh, my daughter's dying, and in the distress that must have been in Jairus' spirit. But the Bible says that as Jesus was going to Jairus' house, and as he was on his way to do this miracle, the Bible says that a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard that Jesus was coming, she got in the crowd and she fought her way through a crowd, a sea of legs. It was a very disgraced way to have to reach Jesus. It was a very humbling manner that she went about trying to reach Jesus. She was in a place of such desperation to reach Jesus that she was willing to get on her hands and knees and crawl through and push past the legs and the dirty looks and the scowls and the comments that were made as she's trying to reach Jesus. And she reaches out and she touches Jesus's garment. And it says that she, in verse 28, she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. It's something inside of her said, I've got to get to Jesus. If I can just get to Jesus, I know I'll be healed. And the Bible says that straightway or immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she lagged. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples, they looked at him and they said, Jesus, look at the multitude that's around you, surrounding you, pushing you. You're walking. You ever seen when a celebrity's walking and there's just these crowds of people that are shoulder to shoulder? And I mean, you couldn't move in there if you tried. That's what's around Jesus. And they're saying, how in the world would you say, who touched me? But Jesus looked around to see who had done this thing. And this woman was fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done in her. She came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And Jesus, he looked at her, he said, daughter, your faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And all this time that this miracle has, she's been healed. Her body's made whole. Her life, for 12 long years, she has suffered this disease, and now her life has changed. And no doubt the rejoicing, no doubt the joy that was flowing through this woman, because now she's been made healed, or she's made whole, and she's been healed. And the whole time, there's a man named Jairus that's been in this crowd, and he came to Jesus first. Jairus had came to Jesus and said, my daughter's dying. I need you right now, God. I need you. I need you to get to my house. And while he's on the way, Jesus, if we could use a word, gets distracted by this woman that has an issue of blood. And so imagine being Jairus. You're already nervous. You've already got knots in your stomach. You've already searched your soul inside and out to come up with enough faith to even believe that Jesus can heal you, because you're looking at the situation and you're saying, there's no way my daughter's going to live. But I'm gonna do everything I have in me to have faith that Jesus is going to heal my daughter. And now it's been distracted by this woman that needed a miracle too. And I'm sure Jairus is just, he's thinking, oh, would you hurry, Jesus, because I really need this miracle. I can't afford to lose my daughter. And while Jesus is telling this woman, you're healed, go be free, go in peace, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, from Jairus' house, a certain person that said, thy daughter is dead. Why even bother troubling the master any longer? I wonder how Jairus felt I wonder what had to have gone through Jairus' mind right about now is Jesus, if you only would have got there sooner. It reminds me of Lazarus, the story of Lazarus, Mary and Martha saying, Jesus, will you come heal our brother? And if you study it out, Lazarus was a very close friend of Jesus. Jesus was very close to Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And it's the only place in your Bible, the very shortest verse is listed that the Bible says when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. We find Jesus cared about Lazarus, but Jesus took 3 days to get there. He took too long. By man's standards, Jesus took too long. And Lazarus is dead, and he's gone, and they're mourning, and they're weeping, and the family's going, Jesus, if you only would have got here sooner. If you only would have got here, we wouldn't have this problem. We wouldn't have this death of our brother. But now he's dead and gone. And that's what Jairus is looking at. Jairus is staring him in the face is the reality that his daughter is dead and gone. And I just, if I was Jairus, I don't know if I would have had any more faith. I don't know if I would have had the thought process to say, you know, Jesus can still heal her. I'm just being honest. When trouble comes, I don't always feel like shouting and hooping and hollering and saying, I know God's going to take care of this. No, there's some times that I get thrown a sucker punch in life that really knocks out my faith. To the point that now as Jairus is here and he's just got the news that his daughter's gone. The Bible says that when Jesus heard that, what that servant had said, he said unto Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Jairus is a human just like you and I. And even with Jesus standing there in the flesh, Jesus, the one who he believed in his heart could heal, there had to be this internal struggle between, my daughter is dead though. I believe you can heal my daughter. I said that. I scraped up some faith. I went and I dug out every ounce of faith I had to believe that you could heal my daughter. But now she's dead, so I'm going to try, Jesus. I can picture Jairus with this internal struggle. Jesus, when he got to the house, he only took in Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And you wonder, why were those the only disciples Jesus took in? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but could it be that Jesus wanted faith in the room? That Jesus needed some faith to be in action and operate? And maybe it was that those were the disciples that had prayed that morning, that had some faith to go in there with them. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say it, but the Bible does say that there was people wailing and they were weeping, and Jesus put them all out of the house. And he got away all the doubt, all the fear, all the anxiety, all the things that were going to hinder the miracle. Jesus had to put those out of the house. And he walks into that house where that little girl's sleeping. What he said was sleeping. She was dead. And he goes in with some people that have some faith. And he had told this father who's now lost his daughter, his father, just believe it's going to be okay. And he goes in and he walks up to this little girl. And he says, first he looks around and he says, why are you making all the weeping and the wailing and all this? The damsel's not dead. She's just sleeping. And look at verse 40. It says, they laughed him to scorn. Those that were around are saying, Jesus, you're crazy. She's dead. You just said she's sleeping. That was earlier. She's dead now. It's over. And they begin to scorn and laugh. And the Bible says that Jesus, when he finally got them all out of the house, that he took in the father and the mother of that little girl. And when he went in, he took her by the hand. And he said, I say unto you, arise. He just spoke. It wasn't an earth-shattering earthquake. It wasn't a massive production. No, Jesus walked in and said, arise to that little girl. And it says, straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of 12, at the age of 12 years old, and they were astonished with great astonishment. What I felt in my spirit in this service is that, and me and Pastor were talking about this before, there is a spirit of heaviness. There is a spirit of a weight that is trying to settle in. Let me tell you, this church is in revival. I don't care what anybody says. It's happening. We're seeing it. We're seeing visitors. We're seeing healings. We're seeing miracles. We've seen favor. It's happening. It's happening. And the devil wants nothing more than to stop what's happening. It's really messed up his kingdom. I believe that Tehachapi has been a stronghold for a long time, but there is something changing in the city. There's something happening. The Spirit of God is going in and it's maneuvering and it's pulling people from the fire. It's pulling out people that had no hope. It's pulling in something that is shifting all of this area. And the devil wants to stop it. He'll do everything he can to stop it. And so he's tried to stop it with the church. There's things that I'm not even going to go into detail on that he's tried to stop. That I believe he tried to stop some things with this building that have been overcome, and God just went right around him and we're still in this building. There, he's tried to attack it financially and the lights are still on and the air conditioning's still running. He's tried to attack it with sickness and physical problems, but I look out and I see faithful people that are still here on a Sunday morning. The devil has not succeeded in stopping what God's doing. So he resorts to a method that is very effective. And it works on me, and it works on your pastor, and it works on his family, and it works on each and every one of you, and the one sitting next to you. The devil comes and he begins to attack our mind. The devil begins to hit us right where we have too much time to think. Yes, he waits until it gets late at night. He waits until you're sitting with not much to do. And he begins to feed in to this mindset that there's no hope. He feeds in this mindset that nothing's going to happen. He feeds in this mindset that your need is too big. He feeds in this mindset that look at where it was, but now it's not quite what it was and it's losing steam. I came to say in the face of every lie and devil this morning that there's still a God on the throne that still knows how to answer our needs. There's still a God that the Bible says cares for his children. There's still a God that it says if he sees the little sparrow that falls, then how much more would he care for you and I that he went and purchased our souls on a cross at Calvary? And the devil, he's been working overtime. He's been trying to get us to feel like it's not worth praying anymore. Oh, I've prayed so long that it's not worth praying anymore. Well, I'm just going to talk about myself for a while. That all of a sudden he gets in your mind and he says, it's not worth going to the church for prayer today. It's not worth going to church on Sunday. Oh, look, you went last Sunday and nothing happened. Oh, you're still sick. You still got a financial need. You still, oh, I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, when he starts jawing about in the way, it's time to remind him that there's still a God that is on the throne. And I feel like that today there's a word for somebody of encouragement that what you, the answer to your problem is really just getting in his presence. It's really just finding a place where I can come in and get connected. I can drive out the things that are all the PG&E bills and the electricity and the water and the fuel in the car and all the stuff that's in the way and all the business decisions and all the lost family and all this stuff. And I can drive it out of the way and I can say, God, today I just need you. Today I just got to get in your presence. If I do nothing else, I just got to get in your presence. Because let me tell you, one experience with Jesus changes everything. Oh, what would have happened if that woman wouldn't have pushed through the legs and touched Jesus? Brave with an issue of blood that she had for so long. But what happened was something inside of her said, I've got to touch Jesus. I've got to get a hold of him. And this is where David was whenever he was in the cave and he's surrounded by people that are loyal to him, but it's a rough band of hombres, and he's got Saul out there that's hunting his life, and life is not, he's not in his
from his point of view, on the path to a great kingdom. Yes, he's been anointed. Yes, it's been prophesied. But David is in a cave running for his life. And it's in these places that David somehow, he carved out something in him that said, if I can just get a hold of God, if I can just somehow, some way, in the midst of all my troubles and trials, if I can get a hold of God, I know it will change. I know something will happen. And that's where we got to get to today. Oh, I know there's problems. I know each and every one of us are facing things in our life that are bigger than us. There's sickness, there's needs, there's lost family, on and on. But can I tell you, the answer is to get into his presence. The answer is to just touch heaven. Oh, you can't touch Jesus and not be changed. You show me somewhere in the Bible where Jesus, somebody got a hold of Jesus and they weren't healed and they weren't delivered or God didn't bring them through. I don't find that. I find that every person that cried out with desperation, like blind Bartimaeus saying, Jesus, I need you. I find where every time God moved. Now, he may not move. He may not move according to our time schedule. That part is true. He didn't move for Mary and Martha according to their schedule for Lazarus. He didn't move according to Jairus' time schedule. I just read it to you. Jairus had, when Jairus first talked to him, his daughter was still living, but she was on the verge of death. But Jesus didn't get there quick enough. And so by the time Jesus got there, his daughter was dead. And halfway through, he got word that his daughter was dead. But you know what happened? Jesus still showed up. And when Jesus shows up, anything can happen. Oh, I've seen it too long in my life to believe the lie from hell that something's not going to happen. I don't know how, and I don't know when, and I don't know where. But I can promise you that if I'll just get a hold of Jesus this morning, something's going to happen. I'm not giving up on my lost loved ones. I'm not giving up on my needs. I'm not giving up on my life for him. As I get ready to close, I didn't even preach what I had put together. What I feel like today, there's someone in this place that life's, you got stuff going on that maybe you know about, maybe everyone knows it. I don't know. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I feel it so strong in my spirit that someone, you've got to get a hold of Jesus today. You've tried other methods. It's not working. Oh, this woman, she had tried every doctor she could buy. She had tried every answer she could come up with. But when she finally got to Jesus, everything changed. Oh, I'm telling you today, if I were you, I would get a hold of him. Oh, when this altar's open, I would raise my hands and say, Jesus, I need you. Oh, Jesus, I need you. I wouldn't care what anybody else was looking about. Oh, I don't care what people think. Oh, I need him. I'm not too good to say I need him. Oh, it may look like I got it together, but can I tell you, behind this suit is a whole lot of needs and a whole lot of problems and a whole lot of desperation that I need him today to move in my life. I wonder if all over this place we could stand and just lift our hands right now and begin to cry out with a spirit of desperation that Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Oh, it'd be all right if it was just a good old-fashioned prayer meeting. It'd be all right if it was just one of those prayer meetings where heaven comes down and begins to do heart surgery, where it begins to come down and it starts moving in the background. You don't understand it. You don't see it happen. But somehow, as I'm connecting with heaven, there's things going on in the supernatural. There's things lining up. There's things being sorted out. Oh, now, all over this place, every hand lifted, every head bowed, in Jesus' name.
I wonder if everybody that would or could would just gather up somewhere towards the front. And if you don't have a need, maybe somebody else you can connect with. You'll be able to help them. But let's get a hold of God. Let God do something in this place. He's done so much, but he's not done yet. Oh, let's not be done if he's not done. Would you just connect with him today?
God has done something in this service. I feel like he wants to do a lot more. If somebody needs more of God, as we all should need more of God, but if somebody wants to reach out for him, he'll still do more. But I believe that he's done so much today. I am so thankful for what he has done today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, God. Help us today. There was a young man that came running to Jesus, knelt down, and he said, "Master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, you need to obey all the commandments. And he said, I've done those from my youth up. Jesus told him, there's only one thing left that you lack. You need to give away all that extra stuff you've got and follow me. And the Bible says that he turned around very sorrowful and walked away from Jesus. Why? Because the price was too big to pay. Now remember, the question he had at the beginning was, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? But the price to inherit eternal life was too big and left sorrowful. I wonder how many times God is saying, hey, if you'll just do this, if you'll just reach a little farther, if you'll just give me a little bit more of yourself, I can change you completely. Oh God, help us not to hold back. Help us not to retreat from God, but rather to run to God. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. So thankful for all that God is doing in the church. I'm thankful for He's doing so much behind the scenes that we don't even see. Oh my. The things that he's doing that we see are wonderful, but there's so much he's doing behind the scenes that we can't even see. That lost loved one that you have, God's on the clock right now working on them. God is working on their hearts right now. Oh, he's not going to force anybody to live for him, but he's going to deal with them. He's going to work with them. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking God. Don't stop believing.